How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Everyone, we're locked in for episode 24 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there. You can also leave a review if you're feeling so inclined to do so. 5 stars is always nice. You can find the show in any other Locked On podcast that you're looking for. So if you're a Jazz fan, you go Locked On Jazz, or a Celtics fan, you go Locked On Celtics. Or if you just want to hear about the Heat because you like Dion Waiters, you can go Locked On Heat, and so on and so forth. And we've got a bunch of corresponding podcasts. We're going for 30. We're almost there. We've got NFL ones as well. And you can find that on audioboom.com as well as on iTunes. Been doing this every single day, or every single weekday, I should say, since the show started about 5 weeks ago. I'm going to continue to do every weekday through the end of the week. So there's today's show. There's going to be Friday's show. And as I've said the last few episodes, I'm changing that up. So it's every day for now, but next week, it's just going to be one show. That's going to be on Thursday, August 4th. I'm taking a little bit of vacation time, which I feel like I deserve something in the off season, considering I got to turn out coverage every day during the season. So I'm taking my vacation time now. I'm going to take a few days off. I'll be back on Thursday with a new show. After that, 2 shows a week through the middle of September. It's going to be on Tuesdays and Thursday mornings. If you subscribe, it'll still be on your phone or wherever you listen to, wherever you listen to the podcast on Audio Boom and whatnot, you'll be able to find it there. Tuesday mornings, Thursday mornings. We're going for it. Solo show today. Let's get going. Mailbag time. I haven't done a full-on mailbag show yet. It's time to do that. So, Twitter questions. I don't know if it's a mailbag, tweet bag, twit bag, Twitter bag. Some kind of bag. I'm not amusing. Anyway, Mark Broody on Twitter. Predictions for the rookies, the Thunder rookies. Do they get minutes? I'm including Hustis and the rookies since he now has a chance to play. So 3 Thunder rookies, if we're including Hustis, who is actually second year, third year pro player, second year on his rookie contract because he played the D League in his first year after going in the first round in 2014. Let's start with the guys who I think are actually going to play, because I don't really know if Josh Hustis is going to get playing time. Sabonis, I think he's going to play right away. The Thunder really like him. They're really high on Abrinas too. That's the other rookie. But Thunder really like him. They're really excited about his smarts, about kind of his – I know how it sounds, right? That's the first thing I say. Smarts. He's a gym rat. He's got great work ethic. He's gritty. He hustles. But they really are. I think Sabonis is actually one of the exceptions. Because sometimes guys like Domantas Sabonis can just be really high IQ players. And he's got post skills. He's got really good footwork too. He's got really good footwork in the post. And I don't know if the Thunder are just going to be feeding him the ball and letting him run the offense through, running the offense through him. I don't think that'll be the case. But he's got really nice footwork. And he's got good footwork on the other end too. Which is why I think he's actually going to end up playing more 4 than 5. I don't think he's a rim protector. He doesn't have the length. He doesn't have the standing reach to where he's really a rim protector and he can go up and make those plays and defend the rim. I don't think he's ever going to be that case. But I think they think he can be a little bit more switchy because of that footwork on both ends. Some guys have really good footwork on one end and really bad on the other. Like Enes Kanter is probably the most exaggerated example of that in the entire league, where you watch him on offense, you're like, man, that guy's massive, and look at how he moves. He's so graceful on offense. He really is. Going for offensive rebounds, his footwork in the post, and after he gets boards, being able to corral it and find his feet and make a move after and not just go straight up. He actually makes a move. I mean, he's so graceful on offense. His offensive game is so pretty. And then defense, you get him away from the rim, and you can really take advantage of it. Sabonis has good footwork on both ends. And I think the Thunder are excited about that. Now, I don't know if he's going to be playing 30 minutes. I don't think that'll be the case. But I think we're going to get to a spot where he's 15 to 20 minutes a night. He's a legitimate contributor. He's legitimately in Billy Donovan's rotation. They'd like him to start. I don't think he's going to start right away. And I don't know, even if he is the best option at the four through the year, I don't know if you can start him. It's something that I've hammered home over and over and over and over again. The Thunder don't have shooting. They don't have shooting really anywhere. I mean, look, Abrines is a good shooter, but we don't know what kind of rookie pains he's going to have. Morrow is obviously a really good shooter, but you know, there are other aspects of his game which the Thunder obviously deemed too detrimental to give him consistent playing time last year, mainly on the defensive end. So the Thunder need to find shooting somehow. I think Ilyasova, just because he can spread the floor, open up driving lanes for Westbrook and for Oladipo, because he provides really the only option of a guy who can be put in the starting lineup, who can be an above-average three-point shooter at his position. Unless, of course, they plan on starting Abrines, which I don't think is going to happen right away. Maybe if he plays really well, it happens, but that's not happening right away. So I don't know if Sabonis starts, even if he provides the best option from a talent standpoint. That's kind of my point on Kanter. Whether you think Kanter is a better player than Ilyasova, I think Ilyasova is the better starter. But I do think Sabonis is going to play, and they're going to find ways to play him, because I think he can work next to Kanter. I think he can work next to Adams. I just think it's going to be mostly at the four, and Kanter's going to play the five when that kind of stuff happens. From a size standpoint, you know, from a not wanting to take him away from the rim as much standpoint as well, I think is obviously a big concern when you have Kanter on the floor. As for Abrines, Thunder like him a lot too. I mean, they're excited about him. Look, they gave him, he's going to be making $6 million next year, or just a hair under $6 million next year. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money for a second round pick. Now, he's improved a lot as a shooter since the Thunder drafted him 3 years ago. His shooting numbers are spectacular. And it's not just the overall shooting numbers. When I say the shooting numbers are spectacular, I don't mean just he shot 43.5% from 3-point last year, which he did. And that's an awesome number. But that doesn't always tell you that a guy's a versatile shooter. Sometimes he's always taking the same types of shots. Sometimes he's only taking open shots. Sometimes he's playing with really good players around him and they're all just catch and shoot corner threes. You know? Playing with good players around you can bump up your three-point percentage. Don't believe me? Go look at Matt Barnes' three-point percentages with the Clippers. Look at so many other numbers on there. Playing with good players who create good three-point shots can bump up your three-point percentage. But Abrines shoots well on a lot of different kinds of three-pointers. He shot well on threes off the dribble, even though I don't think he's going to be dribbling the ball very often, and that was a small sample size, but he did shoot well on them. He shot really well running off screens, way more important. That's going to be his role with the Thunder. He shot well in pretty much every type of catch-and-shoot situation, whether that's coming off a curl, whether that's just standing straight up and catching it head-on and putting up a shot. All good numbers across the board. That's translatable skill. Now, generating space when you're running off the screen is not always a translatable skill. Sometimes guys are able to generate space at a lower level, and they can't necessarily do it in the NBA because maybe they're not quick enough, maybe they're not a good enough athlete, maybe the game is moving a little bit too quick for them. Because getting open off screens is not always about speed. It's also about how quick your mind works. J.J. Redick is amazing at that. Kyle Korver, awesome. Danny Green, amazing. The reason Danny Green is so good at that, Danny Green's fast. Don't get me wrong, he's fast. He's not the fastest player in the league. The reason Danny Green is so good at running off screens is because Danny Green is great at finding space. Now, Abrines, he could be really good at that. That's something we have to find out. He's only 22 years old. He could go through rookie pains. It's possible. He could struggle defensively, especially off the bat. That's possible. If he's too detrimental to the defense, he could go in and out of playing time like a lot of rookies do. I mean, he's got pro experience. He's still only 22 years old. Let's not pretend like, look, he could come out and be really good right away. He could. It's possible. But let's not pretend like that's the fair expectation. It's not. That's not the fair expectation for any rookie. He's still 22. I mean, this isn't like Ichiro coming over and he's in his late 20s and he comes over and he's a star in Japan and he's going to come over and dominate. That's not the case. Just because he was playing pro, and it's really good pro. I mean, ACB league is really good. That is basically as good a pro league as you're going to find. And a lot of good players have come out of there. Tons of pros. You can Google it. There are a million of them. But there could be growing pains. The best rookies have growing pains. Abrines can have growing pains. I think he's going to play, though. I think he could go in and out of the rotation, but by the end, I think he's going to stabilize at a spot. I don't think Huestis is going to play. I like Josh Huestis, but unless he stabilizes a shot, unless he finds a way to become an average three-point shooter, I mean, look, he's got great leaping ability. He can block shots for a wing. I mean, that's a really nice trait. He's still a little bit skinny. And he, most importantly, guys just don't guard him on the wing. If he can become an average three-point shooter, just to the point where guys go out and guard him, then I think he can find a spot. That's not something we can really know. I mean, look, he shot 4 for 10 in summer league. Whoop-de-doo. Who knows? I mean, I don't know if that means he improved or not. It's 10 shots. I couldn't tell you. It means nothing. I couldn't tell you if he'd become a better shooter this summer. That's something we can't know till we see him play. If he becomes a better shooter, then sure. But he's already 24 years old. So, we'll see what happens with him. Next question from OKC Thoughts. What will the bench rotation look like next year? So, I think it's going to probably be... I mean, look, Billy Donovan likes going through his rotations. He likes playing around. He likes using a bunch of different lineups. We saw that last year in the regular season and the postseason, that no one is ever going to accuse Billy Donovan of being inflexible. He is going to try everything he can. My guess, so he's going to play everybody at some point. At some point, everyone's going to be in the rotation. That's the way it's going to work. It's the way it worked last year. And this year, this is not a championship contending roster. It's a good roster. It's a playoff roster. It's not a championship contending roster. And because of that, I think that furthers his principle of flexibility even more. I think the mainstays you're going to see are Cameron Payne. I think Abrines will mostly be in it. I think Anthony Morrow is going to go in and out, but I think could stabilize in it. And then Kanter and Sabonis. Now, Morrow went in and out last year, but I think the Thunder need more shooting. I think there's... Look, his contract was non-guaranteed until July 15th. They could have waived him before July 15th and paid nothing. And they could have gotten someone else. Now, maybe they just figured they couldn't find somebody else for his quality for a little more than $3 million a year, which is what he's making. But I think they realize that there's not much shooting on this team, and they got to get three-point shooting from somewhere. And if there's one thing Anthony Morrow does every single year is that dude can shoot it. He is such a good shooter. He is an amazing shooter. Even last year, in a down year from a percentage-wise, he was still up near 40%. I mean, he is an incredible shooter. He's got the quickest release in the league on just strict catch-and-shoot situations, probably. He's amazingly accurate. And he is a phenomenal shooter. And that's something the Thunder need. So I think they need him this year more than they needed him last year. His detrimental traits on defense just took away too much last year. This year, his shooting provides more to this team than it did to last year's team. So I think Morrow's going to play. Payne's got to play. Payne's the only backup point guard. I mean, there's Oladipo. Payne just had the surgery. I assume that they... I mean, they say that Payne's going to be back for the start of the season. They must be confident in that because they don't have another point guard there. In Oladipo, you can stagger your lineups. Assuming Oladipo is going to start, you can stagger your lineup so that Oladipo runs the bench lineup. That's fine. I'm surprised they haven't gone after a third point guard, honestly. Well, surprised is the wrong word. I'm intrigued by the fact that they haven't done it. I think it's going to be Samaje Christen. I'm pretty confident that that's going to be the guy. But it is intriguing, knowing the pain injury situation, that they don't want to go after someone more reliable. Clearly, they like Payne. They drafted him in the first round just last year. And he was inconsistent last year, but he was 20. So what? How many 20-year-olds are consistent? Plus, he was hurt. Even when he was playing, he was wearing a walking boot when he was walking around out of games. So what that he was inconsistent? I'm intrigued by the fact that they're not going for someone a little more stable. Look, Steve Blake's not going to put you over the top. And if Steve Blake wants money, anything above a minimum, then, you know, I understand. It's just interesting. It's interesting to see the way this team is operating around Payne with this injury. Because right now, Payne is really the only true backup point guard that they have. He's the only one who's really going to be a point guard. Oladipo can run an offense, but I wouldn't say that he's a natural point guard. I wouldn't say he's a natural facilitator. He's a naturally ball-dominant off-guard, I would say. He's a good player. Now, I think Singler's going to get in because Donovan gives guys tries, and Singler's around for a few more years. And, you know, last year he liked him as a guy who would guard ball-dominant wings, and I think he still uses him sparingly in those spots. And if Singler produces, look, last year was a particularly bad year for Singler. It's possible last year was an aberration. I'm not saying it's going to be an all-star, but I am saying it's possible that he bounces back to the form he was before, where he's a playable rotation guy. That's plausible. I don't see why not. It's not like he's 38 years old and he just got old and fell off. He could have just had a bad year. Thunder are keeping him around. I think they're going to try him out and hope that last year was a bad year. And if it was, then they have another capable defensive wing who they can play, who maybe will be able to knock down shots, maybe give them some extra shooting on a team that's going to need help from shooting threes, creating threes, every aspect of threes. That's going to be their biggest offensive weakness for sure. And, you know, then you got McGarry and Huestis. I don't see really those guys making an impact. But, again, I think Donovan's going to play people. I really think he's going to play guys a lot. Next question from Shannon Zward. What Thunder rookie are you most excited to see play in Rio? I think it's just Abrinas. I mean, I already talked a little bit about Abrinas and Sabonis. Or sorry, yeah, I mean, I think it's... I've seen Sabonis play at Gonzaga at this point. I've watched the tape. I've watched the film. Abrinas is hard to find. I've seen the highlights. I've seen one game. That's really it. I don't really feel like I have an intelligent opinion on Abrinas. I know what people say he's good at and bad at and what kind of role he can play and that kind of stuff. But I haven't really developed my own opinion of him. And I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see him play. I think he's going to be fun to watch. And the way that he'll be used will be probably similar to the way that the Thunder are going to try to use him. A lot of reasons why I think he'll be a good guy to watch. But, you know, Sabonis is pretty fun to watch. Like he's smooth. He's real smooth out there. Next question from Robbie Davis. I like this question, actually. Are the Thunder more likely to win a championship in the next decade if they keep Westbrook or if they trade him for assets now? I've always been of the thought process that in order to win a championship, you need to have a star. And you don't trade a star to get a star. Now, if Russell Westbrook doesn't commit to coming back, that's a different conversation. But if Russell Westbrook commits to coming back, you re-sign Russell Westbrook, period. Russell Westbrook can be the best player on a championship-caliber team. There's no question about that. He absolutely can be. He is so far past the threshold of good enough to be the best player on a championship-caliber team. And if you trade Russell Westbrook, especially in the final year of his deal, especially if it's a situation where you can't get a huge package back for him because the team you're trading him to is worried about retaining him, it's tough to get back another Russell Westbrook. It's tough to get back another piece that's going to be 90% of Russell Westbrook. Now, you can get pieces that sustain you. You can get good pieces. You can get young pieces that you can farm. And maybe some work, maybe some don't. That's the risk you take in bringing on young assets or taking on draft picks or whatever it would be that the Thunder would get if they were to trade Westbrook in this hypothetical scenario. But if Russell Westbrook wants to come back, you absolutely 100% bring him back. I don't think you get a star back when you trade a star all that often. And if you do, there's luck in there. There's fortune, for sure. There's good scouting in there. There's good forecasting. There's smart GMing. There's all of that. You know, I think it's a Branch Rickey quote. Luck is the residue of design. You can set yourself up for luck. You can make your own luck, for sure. I don't think bad teams get lucky as often as the Spurs get lucky because the Spurs put themselves in a position to get lucky. But at the same time, I wouldn't count on luck when you've already got Russell Westbrook. Don't count on luck. One more Westbrook question, and then we'll get out of here. From Ode to Odin, what's Russell Westbrook's trade value if a trade partner can't guarantee Russ will stay? In that case, is it worth just hanging on to him and wait and see? Presti can't take another loss, right? That question was a little all over the place. I will say Presti can't take another loss. I don't think the organization, not Presti, the organization, I don't think the organization can take another loss. I don't see how. I don't see how you can lose Kevin Durant in one offseason and then Russell Westbrook in the next offseason. I don't see how that's a plausible scenario for the Thunder. Look, Russell Westbrook is a great player. He's a top six player. He's a top six player. He's a top 3 point guard. Him, Chris Paul, Stephen Curry. Those three guys, three best point guards. Best players in the league, those guys, Durant, LeBron, and Kawhi Leonard. Those are the six best players in the NBA right now. Those were the six best players in the NBA in 2015-16. I think pretty much anyone would agree with me on that. Anyone who watched the league this past year. He's a great player. But if Russell Westbrook doesn't give you any certainty that he's coming back, and I mean something beyond a verbal commitment. I don't think you can just take a verbal commitment. I don't think you can say that that's okay. Because I think at this point last year, I don't know this for sure. This is my own speculation. But I think at this point last year, if you wanted a verbal commitment from Kevin Durant, I think the Thunder could have gotten one. I think Kevin Durant probably would have given him one. I think Kevin Durant made his decision at some point over that July 4th weekend. And this year, the stock is so much more volatile this year than it was last year. Last year, barring injury, that team was going to win 50-plus games and be a championship contender. Of course it was. It had Westbrook, Ibaka, and Durant. How could it not be? It had two of the top six players in the NBA. Of course it was. This year, who knows what happens with this team? I think they'll be good. I think they're going to win more games than they're going to lose. But there's Steven Adams injury away from something, you know, there's no reason to expect that. But, you know, bad luck happens. We've seen that with the Thunder. We've seen them take some bad luck before. Maybe they lose a couple of close games and win a few games fewer than, you know, whatever their Pythagorean says they should. Maybe they have a couple injuries. Maybe they fall off. Maybe some guys just have bad years. Maybe some guys aren't as good as we think they are. You know, there are reasons. What if they fall off and Russell Westbrook says, I don't want to play for a 37-win team. I changed my mind. That would be perfectly reasonable of him. Now you're stuck in a bad position. I don't think the Thunder need to trade Russell Westbrook today if he doesn't sign an extension today. I don't even think that they need to trade him by the start of the season if he doesn't sign an extension by the start of the season. But I do think that if he doesn't sign an extension by the start of the season, they need to trade him by the trade deadline. If they feel like they can get more value for him by waiting it out, maybe waiting out free agents, guys who signed as free agents who are now available on December 15th once they're eligible to be traded again, maybe because they figure, we'll see if we can get lucky, maybe another team has an injury and they look to replace get Westbrook as a rental. Maybe if they take that mentality, then you wait it out. That's a risky mentality, but maybe that's what they do. But if Westbrook doesn't sign an extension, I just don't think you can take the risk of letting me go. I think you have to trade him regardless. Regardless of how painful it is for the fans, regardless of how painful it could be for the Thunder, you can still get a lot for him. You can get a lot compared to what you would get for if you walked this summer. And losing Durant and Westbrook in back-to-back summers would just be, man, more than backbreaking. It would just smush the team's entire body. It would break every other bone that it could break beyond backbreaking. I mean, they would look like that would be terrible. They would need to get something. And if they still have young talent on this team, everyone is between 22 and 24, and Sabonis is 20. And every other important guy who's going to be there for the future is between 22 and 24. I mean, they have all guys on the same timeline with talent. If they got back a bunch of young pieces for Westbrook, they'd be good. They'd be in good shape moving forward. They got some draft picks. The one that they're supposed to give to Utah in 2018 is still lottery protected. So if they need that in 2018, if they fall off in 2018, if they trade him, they're good. They're protected against that. They'll have their pick if it's in the lottery. I mean, there's young talent there. But if they lose Westbrook, that's a really bad scenario. And I just think if you're a general manager, you have to defend against that. I think that's part of the guy who oversees the entire organization. That's part of his job. And I think you have to do that. Before we head out, just that quick reminder again, with things dying down, I'm recording this every day this week, so really just one more that's going through Friday. Next week, only one show, off most of the week. Back on Thursday morning, that's August 4th, and after that, two shows a week until the middle of September. Those are going to run Tuesday mornings and Thursday mornings. I may throw in a couple extra shows there if there's breaking news or something else happens which requires recording a podcast, or maybe there's a quirk in the schedule or something like that. If you're subscribed to the show, you'll be all good on getting those. Remember, you can head on to iTunes and subscribe to Locked On Thunder there. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs and check out Thunder Road. That's my blog there to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder. That's going to do it for today. I'm back with you tomorrow for one final show for the week for more Thunder and NBA talk. Until next time, though, Locked On Thunder is locking up.